whereas other prophets and messengers were sent to their people primarily. Didn't mean that they didn't give da'wah to other people. It didn't mean that they were not supposed to help or guide other people. But primarily their focus was on particular tribes and nations. And the Prophet ﷺ was honored by being given the rank of being the messenger to all of mankind and all tribes and all nations. And it's very important that we should focus on some of the particular characteristics, because even if, obviously we know, but it's important for us to carry this message. You see, brothers, we need to understand that, you see, da'wah, calling people to Islam, is not the type of thing that we outsource. What do I mean by that? It's not the kind of thing that we say, okay, such and such is doing it, therefore I don't have to do anything. No. This would be an extremely selfish and erroneous thing to do. Because how do you know that the person you didn't give da'wah to won't come on the Day of Judgment and complain to Allah about you, that you didn't tell them anything about Islam and the real meaning of their life? So they're facing hellfire forever and you didn't tell them. And they may complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment for that. So the reason why I say this, brothers, is that we have to understand that if we do not even have the relationship with our colleagues to even invite one or two of them to the events that you organize, then brother, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, seriously. Because it means that we see ourselves as almost like the chosen nation. We're going to Jannah, we don't care about the rest. And this is not what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. He didn't. He didn't teach us to be like this. He didn't teach us to view people with suspicion and dislike and hatred for no reason. Of course he did, for those people that didn't accept him and didn't accept him as a prophet, he didn't like them. But he still was just towards them, he still showed good adab towards them, he still showed them that he was still the embodiment of the message. And think about it, if he only stayed in Arabia, how is he the messenger to mankind if you don't tell anybody the message? How is he going to do it? You and I are supposed to be the conveyors of this message. So really, brothers, it's something we need to think about. Obviously, if we tried khalas, you know, the results were from Allah, of course. But really, I'm just saying that we need to ask ourselves, you know, all the effort we put into da'wah, are we really still either reluctant to even, one, why are we not making relationships with our non-Muslim colleagues? We should do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, the reason why we're brothers and we have this brotherhood is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all. So you do it for that, why don't you do it with your non-Muslim colleagues? Why don't you have some relationship with them that you can invite them to things and tell them, you know, why don't you learn a little bit more about your purpose of life? Learn ways to deal with them. Learn to think like a da'i. Think of what are the things that affects this person. And I will now give da'wah on that basis. The Prophet ﷺ did this. Remember this incident when he wrestled with a wrestler? That was his da'wah to him and he beat him. That was his da'wah to him. Or the time when the lady used to throw rubbish on him and on his path, and he went to visit her, that was his da'wah to that lady. So no one's asking you to learn, you know, Zakir and Night type arguments, you know, where you can quote chapter, verse, and this, that, and the other. No one's asking that of you. All that is being asked of you is to just behave like a Muslim and to be sincere to that. Because if you're sincere to that, you will love for humanity what you love for yourself. There's some scholars that say that, you know, the hadith which says, love for your, none of you truly believes until you love for your brother what that you love for yourself. Some scholars, like Nawawi, say that implies all of mankind. It can even be your brother in your tribe or your brother in your nation who may not be Muslim even. Something to think about. So we have a responsibility in that. We should tell the non-Muslims, that the Prophet ﷺ foretold of everything that would occur to him and his community after him, pertaining to the manifest spreading of Islam and the removal of the tyrannical kingdoms of Khusro, the Zoroastrian kings of Persia, and Caesar, the Romans, and the establishment of the religion of Islam throughout the earth. And that indeed happened. And these events occurred when the Prophet ﷺ prophesied these. It was as if he was reading from a book from the future, talking about history. The Prophet ﷺ was a perfect example of being upright, merciful, compassionate, truthful, brave, generous, distant from all semblance of evil character, ascetic in worldly matters. He had no want of the life of this world. Even though he had power to do anything, he still, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slept on a reed mat, which would make marks in his blessed back, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which would make Umar, a man like Umar radiallahu anhu, just cry, thinking, you know, how come this noble man lived such a humble life? Why should we talk about this, brothers? Because this means, shows that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not in it for anything of the dunya. Because remember, he was offered it. He was offered this by the Quraysh. The Quraysh said, look, you're causing too much trouble. What do you want? If you want to be king of us, we'll make you a king. If you're sick, we'll send you the best doctors. If you want women, we'll marry you to the most beautiful women of the Quraysh. If you want money, we'll give you all our money. You know, what do you want? Just take it. Stop what you're doing. He said, no, I will not stop this da'wah. I will not stop this call to the belief and worship of one Lord. And if he was a charlatan, an imposter, then he would not, when the eclipse happened and they said that it was because of his son dying, he would not have said that this is just something that happens and has nothing to do with the death of my son. He was an imposter, right? It's a great opportunity. Yeah? If you're fooling a people, then you could have said, yes, this is because of that. This is God showing sympathy. If you were an imposter, you would not have praised the other prophets. You could have just insulted them, said that their message was flawed and weak. My message is the true one. Why would you keep on insisting that all the other prophets and messengers are noble and truthful? It would have been easier. It would have been easier to say to the Christians, we don't believe in Jesus being anything to do with God. Because it was problematic, the fact that they were assigning him as part of the Trinity. It doesn't make sense. It would have been easier to say we don't believe in Jesus. But no, he persisted in clarifying the truth about Jesus, alayhi salam. A great sign of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood is that the believers, and even whether they either they came met him or even the ones who came afterwards, have an amazing love for him. Isn't it true that we do love him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than him? Isn't it true? And yet we have not seen him. And what would we do just to look at him? What would we do just to touch him? What would we give? And that's why people can't understand why we get upset and blaspheme about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they don't realize that this is a miracle. Our love for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unparalleled. The Jews don't have this love for Musa alayhi salam, and the Christians, they have a different type of love. It's not, they do have a love for Jesus without a doubt, but it's not like this that they would become, that they would really be willing to sacrifice their family for him. Or not most of them anyway. But we're talking about most Muslims, or who call themselves Muslims. And remember also that the he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most recorded person in history. You will not find any personality being recorded in history like he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even Michael Hart acknowledged, and you probably know this, as the most influential person in history. Because as he mentioned, that he covered the religious, this is from a non-Muslim, from a secular point, what they call religious and the political spheres of life. He was equally competent from their perspective. Obviously, we don't believe that there's a distinction. But non-Muslim observers had to acknowledge this. And there's never been a man on earth who is followed in all his doings by his nation.